Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we are being governed by a platoon of fools, getting us closer and closer to a war with Russia. What does success look like in Ukraine? What are we willing to spend to get it done, money-wise, human-wise? Are we willing to lose 2 million people? Tell me what success looks like. I'm curious. freedom@charliekirk.com. What is the cost we are willing to endure? It's very disturbing what's happening, and I'm sick of Republicans authorizing this. This could be solved in an afternoon if we had leadership, not enabling the war machine in Washington, D.C. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up our podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Join us on tour, tpusa.com/tour. And get involved, as always, start a chapter today. It's a great way to get involved. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And as always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We know the Democrat Party does what the regime asks. The Democrat Party has become an instrument of the CIA, the FBI, the woke Department of Defense. The question I want to ask today is, why is the Republican Party putting up with this? Why is the Republican Party authorizing more money to be sent to Ukraine and allowing the reckless escalation of a conflict halfway around the world that very well could result in nuclear war? We had several politicians here on this program, Senator Rick Scott, Senator Cramer, and every time I ask them about Ukraine, and I have a lot of respect for both those men, I think they're men of integrity, but I'll be honest, when I ask them about these topics, the lack of depth on the issue is extraordinary. For example, Senator Cramer came on this program, again, nice man, we had a nice disagreement on this, and he said there is really no limit to the amount of money that we will send to Ukraine. This is complete and total madness. Why is the Republican Party trusting in Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin and Tony Blinken and Brennan, the same people that have messed up Afghanistan and messed up every single foreign policy blunder of the last couple of years, of Jake Sullivan stumbling into the best case scenario, another Afghanistan, the worst case scenario, all out nuclear war? Now, some of you in our audience email us freedom@charliekirk.com and you say, Charlie, we need to support Ukraine no matter what. Ukraine is the best thing ever. You might have your own opinions on Ukraine. I certainly don't think they're the best country ever. But let me ask a series of very simple questions. What does success look like? I keep on going back to this. What does success in Ukraine look like? And if you're able to articulate success, which by the way, when I talk to these politicians in public and in private, they're never able to say it. They always kind of go back to these abstractions. Well, success is defending Ukrainian sovereignty. Oh, really? What latitude and longitude? What about the parts of Ukraine that actually want to be under Russian control, that speak Russian, that are ethnically Russian in the eastern part of Ukraine? No, we want the entire country back. Well, who drew the lines of Ukraine? Where did it come from? Wasn't Russia, as we know it, founded in Ukraine? How many people in Ukraine actually want to be part of Russia and vice versa? Shouldn't we allow an election to solve that? So what does success look like? And the second one, which is why you know you're dealing with foolish infants in Washington, D.C., in both political parties. And by the way, I do not want to have to do this segment 35 days out from midterm election. I wish 35 days out from midterm election, I could say, everybody get behind Republicans. Everything is wonderful. But I would be doing an act of dishonesty to you if I was not talking about how Republicans have been complicit. Republicans have kept their head down, authorized $80 billion into this non-stop money hole of Ukraine that are only getting us closer to towards a potential irreversible conflict. I wish we could have a big Republican rallying cry. Republicans stand against the proxy war in Ukraine. Instead, it's Republicans that have enabled this. It is Republicans that have supported this. And by the way, let me say this. Where we are headed to in Ukraine, I know this is going to be a big statement, people will disagree, is potentially more consequential than the midterm elections. The midterm elections are very important. They're incredibly important. But if we do not get some adults in the room, some people that think clearly about this Russian-Ukrainian war, then the midterm elections will just pale in comparison. It'll just be a little blip. It's a moot point if you have nuclear war. And you might say, oh, Charlie, we're not going to go to nuclear war. I'm going to walk you through how our own leaders are running television advertisements warning about what happens if nuclear war hits New York City. And so let me just ask any Republican out there, you guys can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Any Republican out there, a leader, you name it. If you're a congressperson or a senator, you are welcome on this program at any time. Adam Kinzinger, any warmonger, you guys can come on this program and I will ask you a series of questions and you guys can talk uninterrupted. What does success look like? And here's the other question. To what cost? What is the cost you are willing to endure to get whatever success that you have to tell me is, whatever you success you tell me is desirable? Well, if you say success is regime change. Oh, really? Success is regime change? So success is basically we're only going to stop when we remove Vladimir Putin. Okay, are you willing to lose 2 million American lives for a full-out ground invasion of Russia, of a country that has 6,000 nuclear weapons, and for what? The third question that not a single Republican politician can answer. And I am so fed up with this because I've waited patiently and I text these people and I email these people and I talk to them. And it's so clear that they're controlled by something. Either these Republicans are being blackmailed, they're being propagandized, or they're not that smart at all. I'm not going to put up with it, and you shouldn't either. Because I ask them, I say, very simple question. How is this in America's best interest? Oh, well, you know, Vladimir Putin is the worst person ever. And okay, I don't like Vladimir Putin. I've said some pretty harsh things about Vladimir Putin. In fact, so harsh, some people in the audience think I'm too harsh towards Vladimir Putin. I don't care. I don't like him. I don't like when strong countries invade weaker countries. Irrelevant. Why is that in America's best interest? You turn over a rock in the eastern part of the world and you have some sort of authoritarian, corrupt despot. Hey, Zelensky is one too. As bad as Putin, we'll never know. That's not the point. The point is, how is that in America's best interest when we are crumbling domestically? We now say we're going to send $70 billion to escalate the conflict. Is it the industrial war machine in Washington, D.C.? Maybe. And then the fourth question that I would love to have any Republican come on this program and explain to me, again, uninterrupted, how does this make us stronger and more likely to counter the Chinese Communist Party? Now, their answer is this contorted thing where they say, well, China will take over Taiwan if they don't see that we are serious about defending Ukraine. That's two totally different things. In fact, China is probably more likely to go after Taiwan long term if they can entangle us in another Afghanistan in a family dispute between thugs 5,000 miles away from the homeland. The Democrat Party no longer has a single anti-war voice, not a single anti-war voice. There's a couple in the Republican Party. And by the way, when I mean anti-war, I'm not a dove. I'm fine with killing terrorists and taking names. I'm fine with dropping the mother of all bombs, taking out Qassem Soleimani. We're not a bunch of doves over here. But we're not dealing with something in Ukraine that is in America's interest. You're dealing against one of the world's great powers, Russia, and they want Ukraine. So we have a question. We have an opportunity in front of us. Better phrased, we have something that must need answering. What is America's response to that? And if we had leadership in the Republican Party, if we had an actual president, which we don't, we would immediately put ourselves in the middle and broker peace talks. What parts of Ukraine actually want to be part of Russia, allow self-determination to reign and consent to the governed, come up with appropriate borders, and don't turn this into a quagmire that could weaken the American homeland? The people in Washington, D.C. are clamoring for a war. And the media is all right there for it. And the stakes have never been so high. This makes Iraq look like child's play. 6,000 nuclear weapons. And you put them further and further into a corner. Where do you think this is actually going to end? I want your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I am so disappointed by these Republicans. Again, I wish we could do the rally and cry, and we're going to do some of the rally and cry the next 35 days, vote red, vote Republican, but I refuse to lie to all of you. And for any of you that listen to those programs of those warmongers, it's such a disappointment. Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. I want to be very clear. You can be very tough on terror and tough on China and tough on our enemies while also thinking and believing that a proxy war against Russia and Ukraine is madness, that it is not in America's best interest, that in fact we should be using Russia as a temporary ally in the fight against the Chinese Communist Party. Churchill understood the need and the significance of Russia. It was Churchill who brokered Stalin to come together with FDR in America against the Nazis. Russia right now could be a trading partner, could be an ally. This entire war in Ukraine could have been prevented if it wasn't for Lindsey Graham saying, we're going to play offense against the Kremlin. All eyes should have been on Beijing. We could have used Russia as an energy partner, understanding that they are thugs. But guess what? I'm going to say something very controversial here. Vladimir Putin is a lot more, let's just say, he's a better person than Joseph Stalin. Vladimir Putin is not a good person, but he's a lot better than Joseph Stalin. A lot better. And we were allied with Joseph Stalin to go defeat an even greater evil in the National Socialist Workers' Party. That's called life. Sometimes you have to ally with people that are not the best. Russia is strong. They're big. They're powerful. They obviously have some weaknesses. Yet the apparatchiks in Washington, D.C. are clamoring nonstop for a war with Russia. And here's what really bothers me. On this program, we have members of Congress that will come on and they will speak endlessly about the deep state and holding the deep state accountable. And then moments later, they will go to the House floor and go vote to give the deep state $70 billion to go launch a proxy war against Russia. So which is it? Do you like the deep state or do you not like the deep state? Who do you think's the one that's actually trying to get us into a war with Russia? The very same people that spy on Trump and raid Mar-a-Lago, the very same people that spy on moms and dads that showing up at school board meetings are the same creatures that then want a proxy war with Russia. They lack intelligence, they lack wisdom, but boy, do they have a lot of vim and vigor towards trying to get us into some sort of conflict with one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Now, Russia pales in comparison to American strength economically, culturally, militarily. But they're still a big and strong and proud country. And if anyone would dare just open a history book, explain to me how it works when you declare war on Russia. How does that one work? When was the last time regime change was successfully able to be implemented in Russia? You think you're Vladimir Lenin? That's the only example I have in the last 100 years. And just from a purely constitutional standpoint, you might say, Charlie, I think we have to go to all-out war with Russia. It's the most important thing in the world. That's a very foolish thing to believe. Then fine, do it the right way. Go through Congress. Has Congress passed a declaration of war? Has Congress debated this? Have we had a chance to have hearings? No, instead, it's all done unilaterally, and Congress is doing this funding of $70 billion, more than the GDP of North Dakota. And I hope all of you out there that are listening to this, that might be struggling to pay your bills, that might be struggling to pay for your kids' medicine, that might be laid off at work, I hope you know that your representatives in D.C. are spending way more time focusing on Zelensky than whether or not your goods, your services, your groceries that you have to pay for are affordable. Now, the reason why we led with this is just in the last 24 hours, there is an incredible bubbling up of the madness. And, you know, someone emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com. They say, Charlie, you know, we have to stop bashing Republicans. I wish I could do that today. I wish I could say Republicans have become at least the war skeptic party. I wish it could be Republicans. Okay, they might have sent some money to Ukraine at the beginning, similar to kind of locking down in March or April 2020, and then they wake up and realize this is a problem. No, they are accelerating this conflict. And not a single one of them will come on opposition media, which is us, because amazingly, the New York Times is the ones that actually give the Republicans good articles. Republicans are standing up against Putin. Yeah, okay, I got that. How is this in America's best interest? What does success look like? To what cost are you willing to bring us towards to achieve that kind of success? How long are you willing to put us into this quagmire? How does this allow us to help defeat and destroy the Chinese? These are questions that adults would ask. The war games end today. And if there is another Republican that dares to go on TV and say, yes, Vladimir Putin is on his heels. He's got a much bigger and wealthier country than Ukraine. I don't think you want to put the guy with 6,000 nuclear warheads on his heels. No. An adult nation, a nation that would be governed by someone like Churchill or Churchill-esque people in the Republican Party would say, time out, let's go broker some peace. Instead, we're run by corrupt fools. Look, I don't feel too good about the coming months and years, do you? That's why now is the perfect time to stock up on emergency food you're probably going to need very, very soon. Listen, emergency food is not for the paranoid. It is for the prudent. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest preparedness company. They're currently offering a generous 20% discount on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. This kit gives you a wide variety of delicious breakfast, lunch, and dinners, snacks, and more, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. It feeds one person for 3 solid months. But this sale ends soon. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now and grab your 20% savings off a 3-month kit. This is an affordable way to build your emergency food stockpile while you still can. If the day ever comes when you need to fall back on this food, it will be worth much more than what you paid. I promise. Go to preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. The pathological obsession with trying to support the Ukrainian regime via Zelensky is very similar to wear a mask, get a vax, BLM, post your black square. And it seems to be reemerging recently. It went down, it was up and it went down. Now it's back up. I want to play some sound here. These people are just so gullible, including Republicans. What a disappointment some of these Republicans are. And it just saddens me. We're 35 days out from a midterm election. All Republicans had to do was take a moderate position, which is, I don't think it's a good idea for us to send money. No. How about this position? This is a great position. Why aren't we brokering peace? That could be a great talking point. In fact, I think that could turn into a political advantage for Republicans. All Republicans had to do on the campaign trails, why aren't we trying to broker peace? Why aren't we trying to use American strength to broker a ceasefire? Instead of, let's go send more money to Ukraine. Where's that money going? Where are those arms going? Are we getting closer to the success you can't tell me and you can't define? How does that make America stronger? Is that going to make us into another foreign entangled conflict? Why is it that Eastern Ukraine speaks Russian and wants to be part of Russia? Why are we trying to insert ourselves when they want to be part of Russia? Well, we know what's better for them. Actually, we don't. Every time we try to impose our values on these countries via Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, or Syria, it doesn't end well. Do I think Western values are the best? Of course I think Western values are the best. All people are created equal, but not all cultures are created equal. That's not the point. The point is if they don't want them, don't force feed them. We're not imperialists. It doesn't work. The only way you could be a successful imperialist is, well, you got to be willing to do some things that I wouldn't support and you wouldn't support. Cut 44, Zelensky speaking at the Oscars. He's become the darling of the regime left. He says, peace with Putin is not an option. You understand how irresponsible this is? If we had adults, if we had people that actually thought critically about this, that were not on payroll of Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, or Lockheed Martin, or the deep state, they'd say, this guy's insane. America could end this war in an afternoon. In one afternoon, we could fly over there and broker a peace deal. Donald Trump would have this thing over with, over a McDonald's Big Mac. Play cut 44.
Ukraine was and remains the leader of negotiation efforts. It is our country that always proposed to Russia to agree on coexistence on equal, honest, dignified, and fair conditions. Clearly, with this Russian president, it is impossible. He does not know what dignity and honesty are. Therefore, we are ready for a dialogue with Russia, but with another president of Russia.
Oh, so the stated position of Zelensky is regime change. What good is America's strength economically or culturally or militarily if we are afraid to try to broker peace deals? That has always been the moderate position. Why are we not having active conversations every single week? If Putin is being reckless or irresponsible in those talks, then you can publicize it. If Zelensky is being unreasonable, then you could publicize it. We could be hosting nonstop peace negotiations in Minsk right now. But instead, we have the failed punk rocker Tony Blinken, who's implying that the bombing of Nord Stream 2 is a great opportunity. Joe Biden threatens quietly, not so quietly, but in his own weird way many months ago, that he's going to bomb Nord Stream 2. So the position of Zelensky, of which, why is he calling the shots, by the way? Zelensky is a DC puppet. He's an oligarch. And by the way, talk to any person who has lived under Zelensky. Not exactly fans of him. Very corrupt. He is a CIA plant that runs the nation of Ukraine. Does that mean that Putin was in the right to invade Ukraine? Of course not. We've had moral clarity on that issue since the beginning. That's not actually the question in front of us. The question in front of us is what to do now. Let's go to Cut 32, retired general and former Pentagon official tells CNN the United States should consider launching a nuclear strike on Russia. Play cut 32.
CNN has learned that the U.S. is developing contingency plans for possible Russian escalation in its war in Ukraine, including the potential use of tactical nuclear weapons. I wonder, can you describe what such contingency plans might involve?
My personal view is I think we ought to be deliberately vague on what we are prepared to do. It could be the soft side of it, which is doubling down on sanctions, doubling down on export controls, ranging all the way to a nuclear response of our own and everything in between.
Yeah, doubling down on a nuclear response of our own. This guy should be excommunicated from decent and polite society. How do you think that one's going to work out? With a country that has 1/8 of the landmass on planet Earth and 6,000 nuclear weapons, we're going to talk about a nuclear response. Can you game that one out for me? Does that end with our kids and grandkids living in a peaceful America? And again, anybody out in the audience, you could tell me, what national security threat does Russia pose to America? Anybody? Are they thug actors? Yeah, I think so. Are they deceitful from their government? Sure. Should they have invaded Ukraine? Absolutely not. There's a lot of bad people in the world, a lot. And one of the defining, let's say, beliefs of a prudent foreign policy is not to go about around the world searching for monsters to destroy, as John Quincy Adams would say. And say it should always come back to the mothership, always come back to the homeland. How does this benefit us? How is that in our best interest? How does that help America? And if you're going to do this, then go through the right process. Scott Pelley sat down with Zelensky's wife. This is so hard to watch. This is hard-hitting journalism, where he keeps on showing her pictures of Americans with bumper stickers and flags in support of Ukraine. Now, I have found almost a one-to-one correlation of people that have the Ukrainian flag and people that happen to be very, very pro masking, vaccines, and BLM bumper stickers. I think part of the regime's strategy is they capitalize on the lack of meaning that modernity has created. I think they basically fill this massive chasm and void with these purpose movements. America's racist, BLM, gotta honor St. George Floyd, put a mask on, lock down, mask and vax, and now the latest one, we need to go be partners with Zelensky. Okay, how's that in our interest? Is that America's role? Where in the U.S. Constitution does it say that we have to go out of our way to go support a foreign corrupt country in Europe? Anybody? Play cut 46.
Are you stronger than you thought you were?
Everyone has become stronger. I'm not unique.
Madam First Lady, may I show you some photographs from the United States?
With pleasure.
This is a picture I took on Fifth Avenue in New York.
Wonderful.
This is a bumper sticker where I buy my groceries. I took this picture on the east side of Manhattan. What do you say to the American people?
Are you stronger than you think you were? It's very similar to when they first sat down with Barack Obama. How does it feel to be president? How are you feeling? How are you supposed to answer that question? Are you stronger than you think you were? Actually, no, I'm weaker. And send us more money. Or when they sit down with Joe Biden, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? We are being governed by platoons of fools. And it's one thing to kind of joke about it and to make light of it, but I just want to reinforce this. Republicans have enabled this and they have funded it all at every single corner. And very simple question, why is our government driving us closer to escalation and further from peace? Now, you might say, Charlie, come on, you're just exaggerating. Okay, why is it that New York City is running public service announcements of what to do in case there's a nuclear attack? Why are Republicans not mentioning this? If there is a nuclear war, if there is a conflict, Republicans are to blame for this. And again, you can have very, very anti-Putin sentiments, of which I share them. I don't like Vladimir Putin. I don't think he's a moral or ethical person. I think he's a thug. I also think he could be very useful to American foreign policy right now to crush the Chinese Communist Party. Here's a little bit of a truth that people don't like to hear. Throughout America's history, we've had to build alliances with a lot of shady actors to defeat greater evil. All throughout our history, moral purity is helpful to be able to set an objective standard. But then you must use prudence. You must ask, what is the good I'm trying to achieve? You must use real politic. That's why Churchill was the greatest leader of the 20th century. He juggled all of this and he navigated it beautifully. These leaders are fools. Meanwhile, we're running advertisements in New York City saying, hey, in case there's a nuclear warhead, here's what you should do. Play cut 47.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit. Okay, so what do we do? Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. Stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body.
Yeah, if there's a nuclear attack, go inside. Yeah, I don't think that's really going to matter. I want you to know this is not a joke. This is a real public service announcement that is running in New York City, a real advertisement. And by the way, I love when she said at the beginning, don't ask me how or why this happened. I could tell you how or why this happened. This happened because the 2020 election was so interfered with thanks to Mark Zuckerberg and ballot mules that Donald Trump would never have allowed this to happen. That's number one. Number two, Joe Biden has been excitedly clamoring us closer to a nuclear war. And number three, Republicans allowed this to happen. That's how this happened. You can hate Putin. You could say, Charlie, we must always have strength. Fine. but it's not strong to stumble into a proxy war against a nuclear-armed nation that could be very helpful in crushing the Chinese Communist Party. Why are we even in Ukraine with this proxy conflict? How is this in America's best interest? Let's get to another piece of sound here. Glenn Greenwald on Tucker Carlson. The consensus in Washington is that we are closer to the use of nuclear weapons than any other time since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Who in the Republican Party is trying to bring us closer to peace? By the way, peace is very popular. And so I don't want to hear from any Republicans like, well, you know, we're in a midterm election. We have to be very careful. You know, if we had some Republican that was able to represent the United States of America, obviously the legislative branch is not tasked with doing this. So the executive branch would have to do this. It would be a little bit of a violation of separation of powers. But just thinking out loud, why can't a delegation, instead of going to Kyiv to take photo ops with Zelensky, who's a very questionable moral actor, why can't we go to Minsk and demand both parties come to the table and try to see where is a ceasefire at all possible? That's what a strong country would do. Play cut 50.
The consensus in Washington is that we are closer to the use of nuclear weapons than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis 60 years ago. There is a very real threat of a nuclear exchange or even a direct confrontation with Russia and the United States. And over what? Over who governs and rules not even Ukraine, but the Donbass, the eastern region in Ukraine, where a majority of people actually identify as ethnic Russians and want to be part of Russia.
That's exactly right. The eastern part of Russia wants to be, eastern part of Ukraine wants to be part of Russia. Cut 52, Jeffrey Sachs, a Columbia professor, says the media is complicit for racing us closer to war. Play cut 52.
I am very worried that we are on a path of escalation to nuclear war, nothing less than that. And a lot of the world doesn't like this NATO expansion, which they interpret as at the core of this. They want to see compromise between the U.S. and Russia. Most of the world, certainly most of the world counted by population, is on the sidelines. They just view this as a horrible clash between Russia and the United States. They don't view this, as we describe it in the media, as an unprovoked attack by Russia on Ukraine. That's, you know, anyone in the United States, they'd say, well, what else is it? But that's because the way that our media have been reporting this.
That's Jeffrey Sachs, a Columbia professor. By the way, he was blasted for having that opinion. Where is the anti-war left? I grew up with very articulate, young, energetic anti-war activists that are all like now regime puppets. Like, yeah, we need to go send money to Zelensky. So you are the same ones that were protesting against the Iraq war. Where are you now? Like, where is Michael Moore? Michael Moore made a whole career out of bashing Bush on weapons of mass destruction and regime change. There was a whole genre of American liberalism that, quite honestly, when they fully deploy, they're very persuasive against foreign war. Where are they now? Then Elon Musk comes out. By the way, it seems as if Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter. That's some breaking news in the last couple moments. He says on Twitter, Ukraine-Russia peace, redo elections of annexed regions under UN supervision. Russia leaves if that is the will of the people. I wouldn't have it under UN supervision, but fine. Crimea, formerly a part of Russia, as it has been since 1783, until Khrushchev's mistake. That's exactly right. Crimea should be Russia's. Water supply to Crimea assured. Ukraine remains neutral. Elon Musk wisely says this is the highly likely outcome in the end, just a matter of how many die before then. Also worth noting that a possible, albeit unlikely, outcome from the conflict is nuclear war. Elon is exactly right. But people hate it. They said, wow, Elon Musk is in the pocket of Vladimir Putin. Yeah, that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Something tells me Vladimir Putin is not a huge fan of electric vehicles. Something tells me that Vladimir Putin is not exactly clamoring about Tesla. David Sachs on Twitter says the fact that Elon Musk could be attacked as pro-Russian merely for suggesting a possible peace deal, even though he gave Starlink to the Ukrainian war effort, shows how warped and intolerant the public conversation has become. That's right. It's been completely taken over by regime forces. And I blame Republicans. Democrats are a waste of time. They always have been. Where's the anti-war left? They're all captured. They're all hypnotized. But Republicans are supposed to be our best hope. And Republicans have been funding, supporting, and backing this enthusiastically. What does success look like? Certainly not this. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.